We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Paul and Jordana, I think we're all a little unwell. If you're not a little freaked out, you're not paying attention. But We're gonna get through this, and we're gonna be stronger as a nation, certainly as a state, after this is over. But Jor, I will never take normal for granted again. I think this is going to reset us in terms of, you know, what we complain about, what we value as a society. Jordana, you are in your own home today. We are taking seriously the social distancing.
Okay?
How's it going?
Can you hear me okay? Okay.
I've been
talking.
Sounds
you can hear
good.
Me okay? Then I think we're pretty good. Hopefully there's not too much of a delay.
No, it sounds good. How are you holding up?
Good. All is well. Thank God the kids are okay. My husband is healthy, and everybody is now working from home. Everybody is home. So this is what I had to do, Paul, and I would love for the listeners to jump in on this. Take a picture of your home office, and they need to – I want to see it. Because my husband and I, handsome husband and I, share an office here because I usually go downtown to do the show. And this morning, because I knew I was going to be on the air from home, I moved my computer and all of my supplies and my iPad and everything that I needed up to our bedroom. So I'm here in the bedroom. I have a good view. I'm here in the bedroom, and he is down in the office so we wouldn't interrupt each other. So it's a makeshift office. So I'll post a picture on Twitter at JordanaWCCO. And on Instagram, at Jordana Verde, all the good stuff goes on there, too. And I would love you to reply with a picture of your home office, because we want to see what you've done.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're gonna keep cranking out updates and talking to experts. I thought we'd just take a couple of minutes and review the things that are open versus closed as of tomorrow night at midnight, because there's still some confusion. I'm confused. But according to the great state of Minnesota, what will remain open, obviously hospitals, clinics, the state legislature staying open, grocery stores are staying open. You don't have to rush out today or tomorrow. Farmers markets, food banks, convenience stores, bakeries, takeout and delivery restaurants, pharmacies will stay open, including CVS and Walgreens, food shelves, convenience stores, liquor stores. Good news for you, Jor. The liquor stores are staying
thank
open.
God, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was worried. Thoughts and prayers. Child care facilities, news organizations, gas stations, funeral homes, banks are staying open, hardware stores, and post offices. What is closed,
and
I'll go through this fast. Dine-in restaurants, obviously, bars and nightclubs, entertainment venues, gyms and fitness studios are closed. Again, this is from tomorrow night, midnight through April 10th. Zoos, museums, arcades, playgrounds, bowling alleys, movie theaters, concert halls, country clubs, salons, barbershops, and tattoo parlors. A little worried about that for you. No new tattoos for you, Jor, for a while. That is not a complete list of closures, but that covers most of them. So most everything is staying open. Most everything.
We had a question yesterday if the plumbers were going to be able to get to emergencies. And you know what? I did a little research on that, but that is absolutely essential. People should know, plumbers, electricians, like if you have a problem in your home, there will be people. And the plumbers also often have materials that they can wear. They often put on shoe covers, and they obviously wear gloves. So I think they're just adding some extra protective material to protect them and to protect you. But don't worry out there if you need something done in your house that is essential. I don't think anyone's going to come in and maybe repaint a room. You might have to do that on your own. But if you need things done in the home, that is certainly a possibility.
Very cool. Hey, we're up to three. Okay. Laura Oakes has some breaking news. Let's go to Laura in the newsroom.
Thank you, Paul. It's actually some good breaking news from U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar, who says her husband John is out of the hospital. He has taken a turn for the better and has been released. This was all after he was admitted last week or earlier this week with pneumonia and low oxygen, but is doing well out of the hospital now, and she's thanking everybody for their kind words and prayers for John Bessler, her husband.
Well, that's fantastic news.
Thank God.
Thank you, Laura.
You're welcome.
Hey, we're passing on the good with the bad, and it'd be nice if they balanced out, but that is fantastic news. Now, I was starting to say 346 cases in Minnesota as of today. 31 people currently hospitalized. 6,100 tests have been run. If you're keeping score, I mean, these are daunting numbers. 79,300 cases in the U.S., 1,142 deaths. Worldwide, it's 500,000 cases of COVID-19. What I find interesting, the number of cases in the U.S. is trending perfectly along an exponential curve. The number of cases double every 2.4 days. The number of deaths, sadly, horrifically, the number of deaths in the U.S. have accelerated, now doubling every 2.6 days. And this is what the epidemiologists, the experts, predicted as recently as a couple of weeks ago, Jordana. So, George's having some technical issues here as we continue to make our way here in the age of pandemic. 3.3 million Americans have applied for unemployment insurance. That is four times greater than the previous record back in 1982. And again, Dr. Anthony Fauci said something I found interesting today. He said, you don't make the timeline, the virus makes the timeline. And we'll see how quickly we can let our guard down. Jor?
Coming up next, we're going to speak with Ian Aisman. We've been trying to get him on the show all week. We've just had so much breaking news to share with you. Ian created a two-way communication between people that are in nursing homes that have been sequestered now for weeks, because there was a lockdown on nursing homes when this pandemic first broke out, and anybody who wants to say hi and keep them company. He's created this two-way line of communication. They can video chat. They can call complete strangers, people on the outside that want to call and talk to somebody in a nursing home just to try to break free of some of the loneliness. That's, again, he's one of our COVID heroes, somebody doing something wonderful in the community, and we want to hear him. If you have a story of somebody doing an amazing deed, my email is jordana.green@entercom.com. You send it directly to me, and we will get them on the air. He is going to be joining us next, right after the break, on CCO. Welcome back, Jordana and Paul, on what is a beautiful Thursday. I hope you went out and socially distanced responsibly while you were walking the dog or whatever it is that you were doing, getting some exercise to try to get a sense of normalcy and health during this time. One of our local COVID heroes, I don't know if that's a bad or good title, but I don't know, that's what we've been calling them. Ian Aisman has found a way to relieve some of the loneliness that is surrounding this social distancing. And he joins me and Paul on the CenterPoint Energy Home Services Plus hotline. Ian, I'm so glad that we finally got you on the program.
Jordana, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I know we had to bump you for a few days, and I apologize about that because of the breaking news. But describe the program that you have created for senior citizens who are in nursing homes.
Yes. So basically the way it works is we have a base of volunteers who are at the ready to make video calls with a resident in a nursing home via Zoom or FaceTime. And, you know, like you said, basically just alleviate that loneliness, that sense of anxiety that they're feeling in this time because they can't be visited by their friends and family as they normally would. And yeah, that can create a lot of confusion and, you know, emotional discomfort. So really the goal is just to maintain that lifeline to a friendly face And that is really the goal of what we're doing.
Hey, Ian, this is Paul, and kudos to you and everybody who's stepping up and volunteering. Look, you know this. We had a loneliness epidemic even before COVID-19, and
yeah.
Now more than ever, people are isolated. How did this all get started? How did you connect the dots?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, because, and I'm sure a lot of people listening have experienced the same thing, where they're talking to somebody about COVID-19, and either they're, you know, younger or, not in the risk group, so to speak. And people are like, well, you know, we don't really have anything to worry about because we're, you know, not necessarily at high risk. And I heard that trope over and over again. And finally, I was just like, you know, boy, like we are completely neglecting the needs of that demographic of people. And then it kind of just one thing led to another. And I woke up one morning, it was actually last Monday, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to do this, but this has to get done. And I just started making calls to people that I knew in my network that thought could, you know, help out with it. And before I knew, it really started exploding.
So, Ian, describe awesome. How it works. How is it that you got connected with the nursing homes? Do they put the elderly folks in a different room and people call in? How do they connect?
Yes. So actually, a lot of nursing homes right now are providing their residents with devices to make video calls for friends and family. So there's actually a good infrastructure there already in place. And the way it works is when a resident is ready to make a call, we reach into our database of volunteers for a volunteer that is has signed up for that particular day and time. And then we link the volunteer with the contact at the nursing home. And yes, and the calls actually take place in the comfort of the room with a with somebody there from the home that's overseeing it. So there's a sense of security there, and yeah.
Ian, what kind of feedback have you gotten from some of the older folks who have been able to take advantage of this? Can you share any stories, any testimonials? I mean, obviously,
yeah.
It's striking a chord, right?
Oh yeah, it for sure is. So we spoke with a lady, a volunteer, Samantha. She's actually been doing a wonderful job, not only went beyond this call and has been helping out with a lot of the administrative work and things on the back end that have really, helped to solidify this whole effort. But one of the things that she was speaking with a lady in Green Bay, and it was so cool to see, you know, they were connecting over. This lady had done, I'm going to get this wrong. It was in the neighborhood of like 164,000 number puzzles. And, you know, and the next thing, you know, they started getting into discussion about this. And it was just, you know, it was like a sense of, one of the things she said was like, you know, since I can't see my friends and family anymore, it feels like there's a hole in my heart. And that hit me like, and that's it just hit me as like, this is really what people need right now is for us to fill that hole in their heart with this. And and they had a great discussion, and it was so cool just to see. That was the first call that we'd made, and it really was fantastic.
That's so beautiful. I tell
awesome.
You, even
yep.
the rest of us, every day I call my in-laws, I call my 100-year-old grandmother, I call my parents, and it would break my heart if I thought that they were alone or didn't have access to family
yes.
or friends or anybody else. So you're doing a great service.
Yes, it's so important. And I want to really punctuate what I'm seeing in the world right now, and as evidenced by this whole thing, is that at scale, there's a greater sensitivity, and I'm seeing people looking around at their individual communities and the space around them and seeing, boy, what do people need and how can I help them? And I'm seeing that in my own community. I'm hearing stories of it around the world. So I think it's safe to say that when this is all said and done, I think we are sowing the seeds of a much, much better world.
What a beautiful thing to say.
We hope you're right. We love your optimism, Ian. Is there still a need? Can people still sign up to be a part of this movement?
Oh, absolutely. So if you are looking to help out either as a volunteer to make a call, or if you're listening and you're a nursing home, or you know somebody who has connections with nursing homes that might be interested in helping out, visit virtualvisitfriend.org. And it's at the bottom of that page, you'll see a link, and that link will take you to the sign-up sheet. And on that sign-up sheet, you can basically delineate which days of the week you're available, what times you're available, and if there's any other way that you'd like to help out in addition to making calls, because, of course, we're looking, you know, for not just people to make calls, but people to help facilitate those meetings between the links between the volunteer and the home as well. And you know, really, as we scale this, we're going to need all hands on deck. So if you are listening and you've, even if you don't think you've got some special skill that you have in your heart, this hits you and it's a desire to help, definitely visit the website, send us an email, sign up to volunteer. And, you know, we'd love to incorporate your efforts.
Ian, I understand in your real life, you're in the landscape industry. You're not in senior services. Is that right?
That is 100% correct. So about 2.5 weeks ago, I was getting ready to do spring cleanups and garden installs. And not in my wildest dreams that I think that the only 2.5 weeks ago that I would be doing this right now. But like I say, it was just something that it was a need that had to happen. You know, it was something that had to be done. So that's, you know, I want that also to be a testament to people who, you know, are you know, thinking, how can I help? You know, what are my skills, et cetera? It really doesn't take any special skill set other than if somebody needs something and you can do it for them. That's the only thing that's necessary. So, yeah.
So, Ian, is this the beginning of maybe a new endeavor for you, or do you think you'll go back to your old gig?
Well, for me personally, I can't say for sure, but I can say that I hope that this my hope is that this effort brings into the world an added layer of connection with our elders, so that when this is all said and done, now all of a sudden we find ourselves with the framework of, oh, if you can't visit someone in a nursing home in person, you can still do so virtually. So I personally, I mean, I would love to be involved in that even after this. Everything settles down. And like I say, we find ourselves in a better world. But yeah, in general, I think I see this becoming a solidified addition to our framework as a society, that we're taking greater care of our elders.
Well, that is so cool. And, you know, I mean, what worked in 2005 is not going to work in 2025. So kudos to you and your team for doing something amazing and paying it forward and helping so many people in the process. Ian Eisman, we'll check back. Keep it going.
Thank you so much, you guys. I appreciate it.
You bet. We appreciate you.
And I tell you, Paul, this has, in my opinion, I know this is a terrible tragedy and people are dying, yet growth will come from this. The way Ian said, maybe it will create a new framework where we can stop the loneliness epidemic, have an easier way to communicate. You know, teach seniors that, you know, their kids are just one FaceTime away. And I just think it's so beautiful because people are getting these different callings. It's a calling. And he's fulfilling a great need. You know, necessity certainly is the mother of invention.
Absolutely. When we come back, Aaron Sojourner is going to join us from the University of Minnesota Carlson School of Business. There has never been a week like this in the United States when it comes to unemployment claims. I mean, there just is nothing to compare this with. 2008, the Great Depression, nothing. We get his perspective next. Paul and Jordana, Dave Josephson, DJ. We lovingly call him DJ. He is our producer today, as he is most days. I was thinking, look, I'm a capitalist. I believe in the power of the markets to create the products, the services that we need. Competition is good. I buy into all of that. I'm on my seventh business. I don't think anybody can accuse me of being a socialist. However, I find it fascinating, and I've done my fair share about grumbling about government, state government, national government. Why do we need so many people? Why do we have government? I mean, businesses can do everything, right? Companies have the answer. And yet, think where we would be today if we did not have a government safety net, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the people that love to rail about big government are the first ones saying, where's my check?
Mm-hmm. Think about 2008 and the handout for all those big banks. Absolutely.
And I'm glad you brought up 2008, because I think what just happened, $2.2 trillion, the biggest rescue effort ever in the history of the United States. Here to provide some perspective from the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline is Associate Professor Aaron Sojourner. He's in the Department of Work and Organizations at the Carlson School of Business. Professor Sojourner, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Can you put into perspective the size of the rescue package in place, and specifically as it relates to jobless benefits? We're up to, what, 150,000 claims just in Minnesota, 3.3 million nationwide. How does that compare to 2008?
Well, I can tell you that the amount of jobless claims that hit our state and hit our country and hit every state in our country last week is just absolutely record-breaking. I mean, there's nothing like it in history. So, Minnesota is about 116,000 workers in Minnesota filed for unemployment insurance last week, and that's more than six times the record in the history of Minnesota. And in America, as you said, 3.3 million claimed benefits for the first time last week, and that again is, you know, many multiples of the record in history. So it's just a huge shock, unprecedented, not in its total size, you know, but in 1 week in its total size. So, you know, this is not as big a yet as the Great Depression or the Great Recession. If you think about those 3.3 million workers, that actually alone, if they all move from employment to unemployment, raises the unemployment rate by 2%. And we were at 3.5, and now we're up to 5.5, if you think about it that way. So at the top of the Great Recession, or the bottom of the Great Recession, unemployment climbed up to about 10%. So, look, the reality is that this was a big shock, and it's happening all at once, and it's happening everywhere. And as you guys were just talking about, this is a national shock. It's not something that's due to one family's choices or one business's choices or one state's choices. It's something that is hitting the whole country at once and hitting the whole world at once. And it's really something that requires the national government to step up and help families and help businesses bridge this gap, because it's outside of our control. And, we can talk
Professor?
About that. Yep.
Professor, mm-hmm. Okay. I asked our commissioner in the state if we had the money to pay for this, and he told me that we do have a healthy fund. I think it was like a $1.6 billion fund. Is there enough money in the state and even in the federal government to pay for all of these unemployment claims?
So, yeah, Minnesota has been doing a good job stewarding its resources, I think, and has built up, relatively speaking, a healthy uninsurance benefit fund. But no, I mean, it depends how long it lasts, right? So I haven't run the numbers to know how long it would take, and there will be more claims this week, probably more even than last week. And so it depends. We don't know how big this is going to get. You know, we know that just because we need to be social distancing and we need to preserve life and preserve public health, we need to be in our homes. And that's real, and there's no avoiding that right now because we don't have alternative means of protecting life in place. And it's so we just have to take that hit right now economically, and that means shutting down big parts of the labor market, shutting down big parts of the consumer market, shutting down production for lots of things. And that's just a terrible hit, and there's no way around that except to confront the public health challenge square on and figure out how we can get testing up to scale, wide-scale testing, so that we can start to know who's sick and who's healthy and make sure we're taking care of people who are ill and making sure they're not contagious and out and about, and make sure that the healthy people can, you know, get back to their business.
We're talking with Aaron Sojourner from the Carlson School of Business. Moody's has some models, financial models. They're estimating as many as 5 to 6 million people could be added to the unemployment lines by the end of March. That would be the biggest one-month job loss in recorded history. Seven times March 2009, when 800,000 Americans lost their jobs. And there's some speculation.
I think that's optimistic, honestly.
You think that's optimistic, really?
If it continues on the pace it's on. I mean, so we have some models going. We predicted 3.3 million job losses on Sunday, and it came out today as 3.3. Okay, so that was a good prediction. Really close. Mm-hmm. Today we predicted, over 4 million next week, based on looking at Google search trends for file for unemployment and looking across states. So, another way to think of it is that 3.3 million, it's a huge number, but it's about a little bit more than 2% of all jobs in the economy, okay? Now look around at what's changed in our community and communities all over the country. It's not hard to think that 2.2% of jobs, you know, are severely affected, right? And when you start to think about it, you start to think, well, only about 30% of workers can work from home, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I mean, 70% of people can't do their job from home. I can. I'm lucky. You guys are probably in studio, so. You know, media can't. But the scale of what's happening is really large.
So there's some predictions that 10% of all private sector jobs could be lost by this summer if we continue, if we have a worst-case scenario, retail, leisure, hospitality taking the biggest hits. Can you explain in layman's terms why those jobs just can't come back when the virus does eventually subside?
Well, they can't be operating when we're under broad, indiscriminate, shelter in place, right?
Right.
But if we can get our public health strategies up and running at scale so that we can test people and know who's well and who's ill, and we can trace contacts and, you know, find out who's contagious before they're showing symptoms. And I'm not an epidemiologist, and I shouldn't pretend that I understand all this stuff with great expertise, but this is what I understand from expert epidemiologists and public health people. Once we get those strategies in place, then we can start to get back to business. The speed with which we can pull that off really matters, and the speed with which we can pull that off, I think, governs the depth of the pain that we feel and the length of the pain that we feel here, right? Because families might have enough savings and, you know, stuff around their house, and, you know, they can scrounge up a couple weeks, but a couple months is hard. And that's why we really need the federal government to step up. The federal government has the borrowing capacity. It's the only entity really in our society that has the borrowing capacity to finance this, you know, help people through and bridge these holes in our family budget and our small business budgets, big companies might have more access to big credit markets, but families and small businesses, it's much harder. And even state governments, you asked about before, they have to run a balanced budget. They can't borrow the same way the federal government can. And look, the federal government, the capital markets are throwing money at the federal government. The interest rates are very low. They were negative in real terms not long ago. So investors are saying, please, federal government, take this money, and there's nowhere safe for me to put it except with you. And please borrow my money and put it to good use and take care of this thing. And that's what they need to do, and we need them to do it, because, again, the scale of the problem is just beyond any family or business or I mean, we all have a part to play, and we can all, you know, do the things that the public health experts tell us to do and take care of each other, and that's what we need to be focused on. But
Aaron Sojourner is an associate professor, Department of Work and Organizations at the Carlson School of Business. He was joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Aaron, thank you for the education and
thank
the
you,
expertise.
Aaron. Very informative.
Coming up next, it was supposed to be opening day. If you checked out our Twitter at Jordana WCCO or P. Douglas Weather or even DJ at WCCO, DJ WCCO, you can see us wearing our Twins gear because we're celebrating opening day anyway. Mike Max is going to join us next to talk sports.
Even if you wanted to, you can't touch this because we are at least 6 feet away.
We are at least 6 feet, a couple of towns away, a couple of cities away is what we are. You're right, Paul. I wish we were having some hot dogs and hearing the crack of a bat and a couple of beers at opening day of the Twins.
It's going to happen, and it'll be sweeter than ever. And with us, joining us to reminisce and look forward, is the one and only Mike Max. How's it going, Maxie?
Good, because I just left the radio teleconference with Rocco Baldelli. So I got a chance to listen to him, and they had a chance for reporters to visit with him about opening day and obviously the uncertainty of, and they're trying to stay in touch with players and all those things. But, you know, he said it best when they said, what does opening day really mean? And it's optimism. You know, everything feels good the first game, and everybody believes. And, you know, you want to see Josh Donaldson in his Twins uniform and start to gather statistics and data on these guys. And, you know, opening day is just like that. It's fun. If there is, you know, who knows when this will start, but the Twins may have caught just a touch of a break relative to the rest of the league, and that they were going to open with late night games in Oakland and Seattle. So they'll get those at some point in time. If they start from here, they'd have to redo them, obviously. But by the time they start, whenever that is, it should be nice weather in Minnesota, and April and May have never been that good in terms of attendance for the Twins. So as I try to look at it as half full, that's where I land.
Maxie, help us with the calculus of what the Twins are dealing with. And you know, anybody who pretends to have the answer key, please call us and tell us when this will taper off. But let's assume, for the sake of optimism, that by maybe late May, early June, some semblance of normalcy returns. Is there a limit to how many doubleheaders the Twins can schedule for home games to try to make up as many games as quickly as possible?
Really good question. And I think the answer is that's being negotiated with the players' union right now. And obviously it's predicated on, well, how many months are we going to play and how many games we're going to try to get in? I mean, if you start in June, you'd have to play fewer doubleheaders than if you started in July. If the season extends through October, you'd have more time, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of moving parts there, but that is certainly one of the big ones in play, is that you'd have split doubleheaders, and not the traditional, you know, the old school doubleheader where you just play back-to-back on one ticket, but you'd clear the stadium in essence. And you did. Basically, baseball games are units, and they're television programs and they're radio programs. And so you want each program to be a standalone by itself. You don't want to where you just pay once to get into the same one. You want to separate them. You want to sell them that way, commercial breaks, inventory, all those things. They're as much a television show and a radio show as they are, you know, an actual game in terms of from a business standpoint. So when they get there, and then they'll expand the roster so you can have more pitchers so you don't have to wear out your pitching staff. But, you know, Wes Johnson was on the call as well, their pitching coach. You know, everybody's gone home or wherever home is. for them, and they can all play catch. But interesting, Taylor Rogers said the other day he keeps the same catch partner every day because you want the fewest amount of interaction that you can have, right? So you play catch with the same guy, and you hope you both are clean. And his dad's a fireman, so he's steering away from him because he's out on calls all the time. So there's a lot of kind of interesting sidebars to this thing. I was also at a Concordia University today. Mark McKenzie was the longtime coach out there. He's now an assistant coach. Neil Lerner's the head coach. I spent some time with them. It was just a gorgeous day. We were at the baseball field talking about things.
Oh, yeah.
Mark McKenzie was the one time. He's 68 years old now, but he was a bat boy back in the 60s and early 70s for Twins baseball for the visiting team. And so we were bringing back, conjuring up memories of that and how much opening day meant when you'd show up at that stadium. And in the case of a bat boy, you'd put a uniform on and everything. And it was just such a sense of energy and buzz and belief, and everybody's happy. And that does hurt today when if you stop and think about it too long.
That's what's going to be on your show tonight, Maxie?
He's going to have a game on. We're going to play the first ever game, 2010. So
nice.
They'll replay that. Yes. If you want to know, I can tell you who wins. But let me put this way. Anybody wants to wager a bet on that one, give me a call.
In fact, predicting WCCO the past. Will be re-airing classic Twins games on Saturday afternoons and Wednesday nights while the season is upended. So you can still get your Twins fix here on CCO.
Yep.
Maxie, thanks for...
And a day like today reminds us it will come again and all is still going to be good.
Yes,
all right, Maxie, thank you so much. And take a picture of yourself in your Twins gear and join the fun that we're having at CCO. Post it with the hashtag opening day anyway. You can see David, you can see Paul, you can see me. I had my Twins hat when I took the dog out for a walk today. And we can do opening day anyway. So we would love to see yours. Do that hashtag and we can follow along on that. I think we have time for a little meditation.
Oh boy. Okay. It's my favorite part of the show.
Well, we're going to try and do it every day on the show. I'm going to take you through a breathing exercise because everybody is super stressed out. All right.
Namaste.
So sit comfortably in your chair. What we're going to do is called 4-7-8 breathing. You're going to breathe in for 4, hold for 7, and out for 8. Do it with me. Breathe in 2, 3, 4. Now hold it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and breathe out for 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's called 4-7-8 breathing. It reduces anxiety. It helps people get more sleep. Really good for sleep, by the way. Also increases lung capacity. Okay? Lots of breathing, lots of resting. Do this one before you go to bed. It'll help put you to sleep. It's called 4-7-8. In for 4, hold for 7. See, it's working. Out for 8. I'll try to give you a new one every day to just have a moment of calm during this very stressful time. Thank you for playing along, and I promise I will find a way to keep you relaxed. Except when we talk about the markets. We got the presidential press conference coming up right after the break, and we are going to be talking with Bruce Helmer of Wealth Enhancement Group. If you want to get all stressed out, now that you're nice and relaxed.
Should I dig up the 20s I have buried in the backyard in a little can?
Not yet. We'll see you in a minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.